The bass!
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
This has gotta be a dream.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
This guy's the worst.
So glad you could join me. And you know, every time I get one of these episodes done and I post it up on the web, I always go on Facebook and announce it. And I'll say something like, the new Rockcast is available now for your listening pleasure. And that way everybody knows that they can go and download it. And I did that for the last episode, number 158, and I'd just like to take a moment right now to thank each and every one of the 27 people who liked it.
Pathetic!
Yeah.
Lame.
And to the 217 people that liked the picture of my daughter that I posted, I'd also like to thank you. However, I will say, between the two, it took a whole lot more effort to do the podcast than it did to take that picture.
Just give up and realize how bug-eyed and pathetic you are.
But hey, people like what they like, and I try not to get discouraged. And each time I make an episode, I just try to put out a quality program. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if I can make just one person smile or laugh, I feel like I've done something.
No one's laughing now.
So I'm just going to keep my head up and try to make this the best episode ever.
This is going to suck.
And something that always makes me feel better is getting emails from you guys. The listeners of the Rockcast.
There aren't any.
So I'm just going to start out with one here at random from Tobin in Texas. And Tobin says, "Hey Monty, you have a serious effing attitude problem. I have thought a great CD title for you would be Without an Effing Clue. If that hurts, then you know how you have caused people to feel with your ignorance. Those effing bands that you play, I would not touch with a 10-foot yardstick."
There you have it!
Wow, well that does kind of hurt, Tobin. And I'm sorry you don't like my show, but I have a suggestion for you. How about you go listen to another effing podcast, because I'm pretty sure there's about a million other effing podcasts out there.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Better yet, since you know so much about podcasting, how about you do your own show, and then I can critique you?
Nitwit.
Sound good? Well, all right.
Dumbass.
Fortunately, everybody didn't hate what I played on the last show, including Jeffrey Elliott and Phil Robinson, who both liked the 4 Years Strong that I played. Phil also agreed with me about my hatred for the media, and he also had a question for me, which was, "Hey Monty, have you had a chance to listen to the new song by Ghost?"
They're kind of scary.
Well, no, I haven't, Phil, but I do have a new song by Ghost right here, and so I think I'll listen to it and see what I think.
Thank you.
You know, Ghost has always kind of reminded me of Blue Oyster Cult, and for that reason alone, I've got to like it. And like Blue Oyster Cult, their image is dark and kind of evil, but their sound and songs are so melodic that you end up digging it. So I'm going to say thumbs up on this and look forward to the rest of the CD. On the last episode, I failed to read any of your top 10s. But have no fear, because I'm going to make up for it on this episode. I'm going to try to get to at least a couple, and the first one comes from Gary in Baltimore. And as you recall, Gary was one of the finalists in the top 10 playoffs last year. And you know, I've met a lot of you guys over the years while I was on tour, and I met some of you more recently at the Galactic Cowboy Reunion shows. But I had never met Gary in Baltimore until a couple of weeks ago. And Gary sent me an email and said, "Hey, Monty, I'm going to be coming through Kansas City on business. Would you like to get together and have lunch?" And so sure enough, we met up and I took Gary to one of my favorite Mexican places. And we had a really good time talking. And at the end of it, Gary picked up the check. And I said, Gary, you don't have to do that. And he said, "No, Monty, I want to do this. I want to thank you for all the years of great music and podcasts that you've given me." And I said, "Wow, Gary, well, thank you for buying me lunch. But considering all that I've done for you and how much it meant to you, you would have thought I would have gotten something more than a couple of tacos."
The nerve.
Yeah, but Gary knew I was kidding, and we had a great time, had a great lunch, and Gary is a great guy. And Gary's also a musician, he's a drummer, and he's kind of a prog guy. And he has sent me a list of his top 10 favorite instrumental songs of all time.
Extremely exciting.
And it starts out at number 10 with a tie between Moby Dick by Led Zeppelin and Frankenstein by Edgar Winter.
Wow!
Yeah, I loved Frankenstein. I think that made my list.
So what?
Number 9 is The Whore of Babylon by Hellstar, a power speed metal band back in the 80s. Number 8 is Frostbite by Mr. Freeze.
Huh?
Yeah, that's Gary's old band.
Oh!
Number 7 is Feels So Good by Chuck Mangione. Yeah, I remember that song. The radio played that to death for a while.
It was excruciating.
Number 6 is a Croily Standing in Motion by Yanni. Hey, to each his own. I do not judge.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, well, maybe sometimes.
Always.
Anyway, moving on to number 5 is Jack Hammer by Paul Gilbert. Number 4 is Fire Garden Suite by Steve Vai. Number 3 is a tie between Kindred Spirits by Liquid Tension Experiment and Stream of Consciousness by Dream Theater. And I'm sure all you prog nerds out there are familiar with both of those.
Running around with their pocket protectors and their white short sleeve shirts.
Number 2 is Transylvania by Iron Maiden. And number 1 on Gary's list of favorite instrumental tunes, once again it's a tie, Orion and To Live Is To Die by Metallica. Well, good job on that top 10 list, Gary, even though it was more like a top 13.
Gary is a very weird guy.
As always, I appreciate your list.
What about tacos?
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Thanks again for lunch. I'll get back to more top 10s later, but right now, I thought I'd... Oh, hang on. Somebody's calling. Let me get this. Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Jimmy Jeff, what a surprise.
Yeah?
Yeah, good to hear from you. Hang on, let me play your intro.
Jimmy Jeff's concert and CD reviews.
So yeah, Jimmy Jeff, what's up, man?
Oh, dude, did you hear that Five Finger Death Punch is playing here in Kansas City in September?
What?
Yeah, they're playing with Papa Roach.
Oh, come on, I heard Five Finger Death Punch broke up.
No, dude, that was just a fight they had on stage.
So you're telling me they're still together?
Yep, they are still alive and well.
Oh, okay, well, hang on, I gotta do something.
What?
Yeah, just give me a second here. I gotta cue something up, and...
No! God, please, no! No!
All right.
What the hell was that?
Never mind. So, Jimmy, what have you been doing lately?
Well, I've been making plans to take a little vacation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, me and my old lady are gonna take the bass boat down to the Ozarks and do a little fishing.
Oh, I see.
Maybe spend a day at the Bass Pro Shop while we're down there.
Yeah.
Go by and see my cousins, Bert and Leroy.
Uh-huh.
And just basically hang out and get drunk.
Oh, well, your old lady must be extremely excited.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd rather she not go at all, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Well, while you're here, would you mind if I picked your brain on a couple of new CDs that have come out recently?
Well, yeah, I reckon that'd be all right.
Well, good, because there's a new album out by Hinder, and when I heard it, I thought of you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, here's one called Intoxicated.
Double the dose, and I'll triple the high. Shoot me up, let's go.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm liking the hell out of that.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Oh, I love Hinder.
Yeah, well, the name of the CD is When the Smoke Clears, and here's another selection from it. It's called I Need Another Drink.
There's nobody listening for you.
So what do you think?
Oh man, that kicks ass.
Sure.
And not only that, but those are words that I can definitely relate to.
Yeah.
When I get home from work and my old lady starts nagging me, sometimes I just have to drink myself into a coma.
Uh-huh.
And by sometimes, I mean every single night.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Yep.
Okay, well, Breaking Benjamin also has a new CD. Do you like them?
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, they're no Shinedown or anything like that, but I like them.
Okay, well, the name of the CD is Dark Before Dawn. Let's see what you think.
I keep falling out of time. I was born.
okay, Jimmy Jeff. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I saw them at Rockfest one year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it was back in the 80s.
They weren't even around back then.
Yeah, it was Night Ranger, Pink Floyd, and Lover Boy was headlining.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, it was a hell of a show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen.
Of course, I got so drunk that day I passed out and woke up in somebody's yard.
Well, of course.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I'm sure it was. So, Jimmy Jeff, you just called in to let me know about the Five Finger Death Punch show?
Yeah. Well, that was pretty much it. You gonna go?
I kind of doubt it.
No, dude, you should, because it is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure. You have a good time at that, Jimmy Jeff.
Oh, you know it. I'm gonna be as high as a kite that night and rocking like Dawkin.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks for calling in, Jimmy Jeff. I will talk to you soon, man.
Alrighty, later.
Okie dokie. Well, here's some more Breaking Benjamin. Every CD they do sounds just like the last one, but they always seem to have at least one song that I like. They're basically a douche rock band, but this album does have some nice vocal harmonies on it and some pretty good hooks. So earlier, I told you I had lunch with Gary from Baltimore. And around that same time, I got an email from Roy and Raquel Johnson in Dallas. And they said, "Hey, Monty, we're coming to Kansas City at the end of June to see the Rolling Stones. Would you like to get together and have dinner?" And I said, "Sure. I mean, apparently everyone wants to take me out to eat, and I have no problem with that." So it came the day of the show, and I got a text from Roy, and he said, "Hey man, we'll be there about 1:30. And by the way, I may have an extra couple of tickets to the show. Would you and Lindsay like to be our guests?" And I said, "Oh hell yeah." I have never seen the Rolling Stones live in person before. I would love that. And of course, Lindsay had never seen the Stones either, nor did she know much of their music, because she is a youngster. So we met up with the Johnsons, we went to see Zoe in a play, and afterwards, then we went out to eat before heading out to Arrowhead Stadium.
That to me is tremendously exciting.
Now, Arrowhead is the big football stadium where the Chiefs play. And they used to have these summer jam festivals there back in the 70s and 80s. But the last time I'd been to a concert there was, I think, Michael Jackson. Yeah, that's right. I saw Michael Jackson back around 84, I think it was, on the Victory Tour. But I hadn't been there to a show since then. I forgot how bad the traffic was getting into that place. And it took us an hour and a half to get into the stadium and finally to our seats. So we missed the opening act, which was Ed Sheeran. I believe that's the way you say it.
Who is he?
That little English guy that plays acoustic guitar and is on every award show that there is.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
But yeah, we missed him and I did not care. Because I was there to see the Rolling Stones, and they came on stage promptly at 9:30. And the stage was massive. In fact, it went all the way up to the upper deck, which is where we were sitting. But I was just happy to be anywhere in that place, because it was packed out. I'm guessing there was about 50 or 60,000 there. And everyone went crazy when the Stones opened with Start Me Up. Now, let me just say, I have never been a huge Stones fan myself. I've always liked them, but it's not like I listen to them a lot at home, because you have the radio for that. But I'll tell you what, when they walked onto that stage, it was just like, oh my God, that's really them. And from the first note on, I was just fully into it. They played a full 2 hours, and it was just nothing but classic after classic. They did everything from Brown Sugar to Wild Horses, which was incredible. They did Street Fightin' Man, Jumpin' Jack Flash, and of course stuff like Gimme Shelter, and I believe they ended with Satisfaction.
Wow, I never hear that one.
Now, there wasn't a ton of special effects or big stage props or anything like that. It was mainly just them and a lot of backup musicians and singers, and they were just rocking. And that was the thing that was most impressive about it to me. I know Mick is like in his 70s, and I'm guessing the other guys are pretty close to that. And they still just have so much energy. It was amazing. And I gotta say, I was seriously inspired. Mick still runs around like a maniac, and Keith Richards still rocks it. But my favorite guy the whole night was Ron Wood. Man, that dude is so badass. He is one of the coolest rock stars ever.
He's old!
So Lindsay and I just had a great time. The weather was beautiful, and it was just one of those experiences you'll never forget.
This is an especially big thing for people who are on Medicare.
Thanks to Roy and Raquel for the tickets. We love you guys. And I'm going to give the Rolling Stones concert 4.5 out of 5 bloody metal skulls. Now, I also have a second concert review. This one comes from Jimmy G in Chicago. And Jimmy says that he went to see Rush at the United Center there in Chicago, and he said it was great.
Shocking.
Well, what a surprise. Somebody who listens to my show also likes Rush. Next thing I know, you'll be telling me you like King's X.
What a surprise.
But anyway, Jimmy says that even though their seats weren't that good and the sound wasn't great where they were, that Rush really, really has chops, and he was impressed by their musicianship. And he says that Geddy even played his Rickenbacker bass, and that if you can get tickets, Jimmy highly recommends it. He says, my rating for Rush 2015 tour is an A+. And he sent me the set list, and it looks like they opened with Tom Sawyer. And they ended the first set with Roll the Bones, Distant Early Warning, and Subdivisions. However, set 2 looks like the one that I would have rather seen. They did stuff off of Hemispheres. Looks like they did most of 2112, which would have been incredible. And then for the encores, they did stuff like Lakeside Park, Anthem, and Working Man. And that right there is the stuff that I grew up on. You see, I'd love to see this tour because it's the last time they'll probably do it, but I saw them back in 1978, and they did 2112 and all that stuff off of Farewell to Kings, and so I'm just good with having those memories from back in the day. I saw them years later on the Roll the Bones tour, I think it was, and I just didn't think they were nearly as cool, so, you know, I'm good. But I'm glad Jimmy had a good time, and he also sent me a question, which was, hey, Monty, are you watching any baseball, and did you see any of the NBA or NHL playoff games?
Softball question.
Well, yeah, Jimmy, I've been watching lots of baseball as long as it's the Kansas City Royals. I'm not going to sit down and watch the Cardinals and the Dodgers play, but I have yet to miss a Royals game this season. We've been out to watch several games at the stadium, but almost every single night, Lindsay and I will stay up and watch the Royals on TV. And every time they score or hit a home run, we're throwing high fives up, and it's just a blast. We love the Royals.
Wildly romantic.
But as far as the NHL, no, I did not see one single game in that whole Stanley Cup playoff. I used to be a big NHL fan back in the 90s, but now I don't know any of the players, and that league has such bad marketing, I don't know when any of the games are on. However, I did watch the NBA playoffs, and mostly for one reason. I wanted to see LeBron James lose. I apologize to all the people in Ohio who are listening. I know you got to root for the Cavs. And if I lived there, I would root for him too, but I don't. And I hate LeBron James, and I don't care who he's playing for, I am going to root against him.
Do you like LeBron James or not?
And so I was pulling for Golden State, even though I think Stephen Curry is a spoiled brat little douchebag himself. I mean, he's a great shooter, but if I have to see that cocky little a-hole chew on his mouthpiece one more time, I'm going to lose it.
It begins to drive me into a frustrated rage.
But I was happy with the outcome, especially after the way the media tried to make a superstar out of that Della Dadova guy.
Huh?
Yeah, I can't even pronounce his name, and no one knew who he was before that series. But he plays two good games, and then everybody's buying his jersey. And then they suddenly realized around game four, oh, this is just some white guy that shouldn't even be in the league. Yeah, enjoy those Della Dova jerseys. You can put that right next to your Jeremy Lin bobblehead.
Nobody even knows what that means.
All right, I'm starting to sound like Dennis Miller, and I know you guys hate sports, so let me move on. So, how about I do a little Ask Monty?
Oh, that's even worse.
First one is from John Huff in Canada, who says, interesting comments on Doug Pinnick on the last episode. Has he influenced your playing or your bass tone at all? Well, John, I don't know if he really influenced my playing that much, but he definitely influenced my tone. In the beginning, I learned a whole lot of tricks about equipment from him. And he got me into the whole bi-amping thing. And there's no doubt I learned a lot from him. But as the years went on, I started trying to kind of develop my own sound. And I started experimenting with 8 strings and a lot of distortions and distortion pedals. But to this day, I still love Doug's sound, and I think he's got one of the best tones I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah.
The next question is from Greg Skipton in Texas, and Greg says, hey, Monty, I heard you talk about chicken gizzards, and yes, I do love me some gizzards as well. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the equally nutritious fried chicken livers?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird, Greg, because yes, they come from the chicken, and yes, they are fried, but no to the livers. I ate one of those by accident one time, and it was all bad.
It's sick!
And honestly, I'm a little bit nauseated that Greg brought the subject up, but I'm gonna forgive him because he has sent me a top 10 list. And this is Greg's top 10 Judas Priest songs. And it starts out at number 10 with Green Manalishi.
Yeah!
I love that too, and that was actually a cover of a Fleetwood Mac song.
We all know that. You don't need to explain that.
Number 9 is Some Heads Are Gonna Roll. Number 8 is Free Wheel Burning. Number 7 is The Rage. Number 6 is Delivering the Goods. Number 5 is Heading Out to the Highway, and number 4 is the Hellion Electric Eye. Yeah, that may be my favorite Priest song ever. And when I saw them back in 83, they opened with that song, and it was such a great way to open a show.
Everything you do.
Number two on Greg's list is Painkiller. And number one on his list of favorite Judas Priest songs, Blood Red Skies. Well, cool list, Greg. Good job. And thanks for your question. Even if it was about livers,
I'm going to vomit.
Here now with the news, it's Rockcast News Girl, Lindsay. What do you got, sexy thing?
Well, Monty, in our top story, the world is still abuzz at the Supreme Court's ruling to legalize same-sex marriage in all 50 states.
Oh, yes. This is just so exciting, Lindsay.
Yeah.
And even though I'm completely straight and heterosexual and I could care less what the gays are doing, I know if I act supportive of this, it's going to give the appearance that I am a tolerant, intelligent, awesome person.
That you are.
Well, thank you. Now go ahead.
The president posted on Twitter, "Gay and lesbian couples now have the right to marry just like anyone else. Hashtag love wins."
You know, Lindsay, I think this shows not only how hip and cool President Obama is for using Twitter, I think it also proves how fair, loving, and open-minded he is.
Oh, totally.
You know, it's kind of like how everyone saw Bill Clinton as the first black president.
Right?
I think people now are going to think of President Obama as the first gay president.
As they should.
He really is. Okay, continue on.
After the ruling, Obama made a speech in which he praised Congress for their decision, in which he had this to say.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman.
Hold on. I think you played the wrong clip, Lindsay.
Yeah, what was that?
I believe that was something he said when he was trying to get elected.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Well, that's okay. You know, President Obama promised us a lot of hope and change. And 6 or 7 years later, look where we are. In his case, you can change your mind, and in the case of Bruce Jenner, you can change your sex. And I think what the president was trying to tell us in his speech was that we all need to be accepting of all human beings. And we should all have the freedom to express ourselves and be able to have our own views and beliefs.
Well, yeah.
Unless your views and opinions oppose gay marriage.
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, you are a bigot homophobe, and you can either keep your disgusting mouth shut, or I will delete you from my Facebook friends list.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, next story.
In other news, Walmart, Sears, and eBay have decided to stop selling Confederate flags amid the controversy over the flag being considered a symbol of racism.
What, really?
Yep.
The Confederate flag is racist?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, well, I did not know that, but if that's the case, I say burn every last one of them. I am sick and tired of this racist country full of racists.
Right?
I mean, sure, I know the people of this country elected a black president, and black governors and senators, and there's black people on the Supreme Court. but we're still a racist nation.
I know that's right.
And yeah, I know that sports is dominated by black people, and there's people of color in virtually every TV show, movie, or commercial. But it doesn't matter. Because if there is even one Confederate flag hanging in this country anywhere, it means we're all racist.
You go, girl.
Yeah. So do I sound indignant?
You do.
Yeah?
That's very attractive.
Well, thank you. What else you got?
And finally, it's not just the blacks who have their panties in a wad. Hispanics were offended over comments made by Donald Trump, forcing NBC to cancel the Miss Universe pageant and part ways with Trump.
Well, Lindsay, I know Trump said some things about illegal immigrants, and frankly, a lot of it made total sense. But the fact is, somebody was offended, and we just cannot have that.
There's no excuse for it.
Absolutely not. However, the good news is Donald Trump probably has no chance of winning the presidential nomination. I mean, the guy pulls no punches, he speaks his mind with no fear, and he can't be bought off by special interest groups. In other words, he's not a lame-ass politician.
Oh.
Yeah, and if you're going to run for president, especially as a Republican, you're going to have to be a complete pussy, kind of like John McCain or Mitt Romney were.
I see.
Yeah, so Donald Trump clearly has no chance.
You are right again, Monty.
Well, thank you, Lindsay.
That's the news.
That was just Lindsay reporting on things in the news.
All right, time now for some odds and ends. And I know you're probably thinking, hey, Monty, what's on TV?
Who cares?
Well, I'll tell you. This summer, it's a new season of Big Brother. It's where they get a bunch of people in a house, and everyone gets paranoid and gossips until they hate each other. And one by one, they all get eliminated until there's a final person standing who gets 500 grand. So it's all about greed.
Sounds great.
But thanks to the producers and the casting directors of this show, we get to teach our kids about sexuality.
Nice.
Oh yeah, this year we've got gays, lesbians, and transgenders. It's fun for the entire family.
That's fabulous.
However, the biggest problem I have with Big Brother this season is that it just seems so scripted. Everybody in the house seems like they're acting and reading lines. And I know a lot of these reality shows, if not all of them, are fake. But this year, Big Brother so far has just been unwatchable. And it's kind of a shame because I've watched it every year since it came on and I used to really like it.
It's a waste of your life!
So I can't recommend Big Brother, but here's a show that you've got to see if you're a guy, a nerd, or both. In other words, everybody listening to me right now has to see this show.
Huh?
It's called BattleBots. And it's basically that these nerdy geniuses make these miniature robot cars and they fight each other. And there's just a whole lot of mayhem and destruction, and I love it.
Nerdy.
Switching to some rock news, apparently Lamb of God has a new album coming out the end of July, I believe. And get this, there's supposed to be some clean vocals on it.
There's no way.
Yeah, their singer, Randy Blythe, said he just kind of got tired of screaming all the time. He said he's been doing it for 21 years, and he finally just got kind of tired of it. And to that I say, well, good for you, Randy, because I got tired of hearing you scream, too.
Nothing is more brutal than...
Okay, do any of you remember a band back in the mid-90s called Failure? They were kind of an alternative rock band, and they had an album out that was really good called Fantastic Planet. Well, I hadn't heard anything from them since then, but they recently released a new album called The Heart is a Monster. So I got it and checked it out, and I don't know, it's kind of meandering, but maybe it just needs to grow on me. I'm not real excited about it yet, but I'll let you decide for yourself. So there's some new failure, and if you're into those guys, you might want to go try and find that. I also know that they're on tour this summer, but I will not be going to see them. And here's why. Back in the 90s, they came to play this little club in Houston, and I went. And I really liked them, and immediately after the show, I bought one of their t-shirts. And as I'm leaving, I see them outside the club drinking at this table. And I go over and say, "Hey guys, great show." And they just kind of mumbled something and basically didn't say anything. And I don't know, maybe they were pissed off because there weren't too many people at the show. But either way, they were real dicks. And I thought, if I'd have known you were going to go all Chris Cornell on me, I wouldn't have bought your stinking shirt. So I left there with kind of a bad taste in my mouth, and I never really wore the shirt that much. So more than likely, I won't be seeing Failure again, and I also won't be buying any of their shirts anytime soon. However, if you want to get yourself a Rockcast t-shirt, be sure and order one today at my website, montycalvin.net. They look really good, and unlike Failure, I will be very grateful. So make sure you order that today, and I also have a favor to ask of you. After you get it, take a picture of yourself in the shirt and email it to me. Or if you like, you can post it on my Facebook page. And it's good promotion for me, sure, but the main reason I want to do it is because I've started a new page on my website of Rockcast photos. I've got pictures on there relating to the podcast, and I want to have a big gallery of photos from you guys, the listeners. And that way you can all go on there and, you know, find out what Dan the Man Cunningham looks like. Or Matt in St. Louis. So if you do that for me, I'd appreciate it. And at the same time, if you want to send me a top 10 list or any comments, you can also do it on my website or on Facebook.
You're not going to get jack squat.
I'm going to end the show with another song by Failure, but it's not off their new album. This is off Fantastic Planet, and it's called Stuck on You. And they may have not been that friendly to me, but this song is great. And I hope you like it, but that's going to do it for this episode of the Rockcast. I will return soon with more podcast excellence, but until then, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
Stuck on you till the end of time. I hear your mid-range moan. You're everywhere inside my room. Even when I'm alone, I hear your melody. You're everywhere inside of me. Stuck on you till the end of time. I'm too tired.
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
That's it!